As you all notice, our scripture reading for today is just one verse. It's very short. So, good morning, everyone. Actually, to be honest with you, I'm a little bit nervous standing in this pulpit right now. But anyway, I think it's God's purpose that I will be standing before you today to share His word. So, first of all, I would like to acknowledge this privilege to stand before you today to share the word, which is God. Actually, in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It establishes that Jesus Christ referred to us the Word is not just a creation of God, but is God Himself, the very essence of God's communication and manifestation. But let's not dwell on John 1:1. Instead, let's focus on our scripture for today, which is Psalm 46:10. So I will be focusing on the word still. Probably all of us could relate to this verse, Psalm 46:10. This is one of the most popular verse, and many have quoted this one. But as long as I can remember, I haven't heard anyone talk about Psalm 46:10. But anyway, it's my privilege to share with you this Psalm 46:10. So before I continue, I will give you an overview of Psalm 46:10. So we'll know that most of Psalms was written by King David, but actually there are many authors, but it was attributed to King David because he wrote most of the Psalms. So individual Psalms were written as far back in history as Moses' time, through the time of David, Asaph, and Solomon, to the time of the Israelites, who most likely lived after the Babylonian captivity. So in other words, the writing of the book spans 1,000 years. So imagine 1,000 years. So Moses' era, spanning roughly the 14th and century BCE. So BCE is short for before common era. So it encompasses the period of Moses' birth up to his death. Originally, this psalm was a song written for the ethnic nation of Israel, both genders included, so it's men and women. So the subject of Psalm 46 is Yahweh, the eternal and most high God. The initial purpose of this psalm was to herald the victorious power of God as He stands for and defends His people, which is the Israelites. So this might have been composed in response to one of God's miraculous rescues of Israel, such as when Assyria besieged the city. So Psalm 46:10 is part of a psalm attributed to the sons of Korah. So, is everyone familiar with Korah? Korah is the first cousin of Moses. So, he is the one that led the rebellion against Moses because of his ambition. He was questioning the authority of God, why Aaron became the high priest and not Korah, because Korah is One, his descendants belongs to Levi, which is one of the sons of Jacob. So the psalm itself is not attributed to a specific individual, but rather to a group of individuals or a collective singers, musicians who are associated with the temple worship and the transmission of religious songs. So the sons of Korah wrote Psalms 46, where we find the famous verse 10, so which is, "Be still and know that I am God." So their father was Korah, who was a descendant of Levi, the son of Jacob. They were Levites from the Kohath family. So we all know that the Levites, they were given the assignment of taking care of God's temple. So let's continue. So when we use still as an adjective, it means not moving or making a sound. So when used as a noun, it means deep silence and calm. But this definition is not what the psalmist is talking about. Rather, let us refer to the Hebrew word of still. So the word rapa, which also signifies comfort and healing. So that's the Hebrew word of rapa. So which means to be weak, to let go, to release. It's not a direct translation of still in the sense of being quiet. So, but rather a call to surrender in God's power. So the word rapa also signifies comfort and healing. So actually, the word rapa means surrender. So on the word I know, so this phrase, in its original Hebrew, when we take that one together, when we combine that one, be still and know, actually contains the meaning in order to know. So this command was probably given to the Israelites at a time when Israel was always at war. So we all know the history of Israel. So they are always at war before and even today. So we all know that Israel is at war with the Hezbollah. So they are waging a war in Gaza. So that is the history of Israel. War and war. So Exodus 14:13 says, "Fear not, stand firm, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be still." So what does it mean to be still? Spending time in quiet seclusion, just you and God, is certainly essential to a healthy prayer life. However, to be still means much more. So it could mean be still and have faith. It could also mean be still and trust. It could also mean be still and hope in God. So to be still can mean different things, so depending on the context, but generally it signifies a state of quietude, calmness, and often a deliberate stopping of activity or thought. So we stop everything. In literal sense, it can refer to being physically inactive or motionless. Being still encompasses everything within us. It could mean physical stillness or being motionless, mentally still. This involves stopping the constant stream of thoughts, worries and anxieties, because humans, that is inherent to us humans. We always have this constant stream of thoughts. Yeah, we worry too much, and even in every little things. So spiritual stillness can mean surrendering our will to God and trusting in His guidance and allowing ourselves to be receptive to His presence. So emotional stillness can involve letting go of anxieties, finding a sense of inner peace, and allowing ourselves to be at peace. To be still in God is to allow Him to work His will in our lives. To be still is to stop force feeding our own expectations, agenda, and desires into our lives. And instead, we should take a moment to prayerfully reflect and ask God what He wants for us, as well as how He wants to proceed. So oftentimes, most of the time, when we face something difficult, whether it's a decision or a situation, we attempt to do battle in whatever we can. So, because that's what we are. We also tend to go to extremes. So, and when we go extremes, that's when the time we cannot hear the thing that still small voice and the voice of the Holy Spirit. So within the voice of the Holy Spirit who protects and guides and enriches us. So we must slow down and stop worrying so much. So we need to stop filling our heads with scary words, scary scenarios, anxiety, and dread of what if. So the what if. We have to pray, release our worries in God's hands. So let us consider Matthew 10:29-31. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet none one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than sparrows." So when we try to grasp at our own sense of control and maneuver situations to our own devising, chaos most often ensues. We tend to make our messes even messier. So God made us plain and simple, but we have made ourselves very complicated. So God made us very simple, and we make ourselves very complicated. So that's why people say, that guy is a very complicated guy. they always refer to humans being a complex form of animal. So be still means not merely to be still in our bodies or even our minds. To be still in God is also a stillness of heart. It is a feeling of peace in the outcome of any given situation. The faith that as long as we place any situation in God's hands, then all will be well. John 14:1, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And in verses 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And in John 16:33, it says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Trials of many kind will always be a part of life. So that is always a given. Life isn't easy, that is also a given. Being human is hard, which is very true. So that's why the Word of God reminds us in James 1, 2, to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, so that would be the answer to James 1:1. So no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So every problem that we experience, others also experience that one. It's not unique to each and every one of us. So it's just the common to mankind. So every one of us experience the same problem. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way so that you can endure it. So have you... I think those younger generations probably haven't heard of a Polaroid camera. So everyone know about what a Polaroid camera is. I think only the people that are older knows about this one. So when the Polaroid camera was introduced in 1972. So probably most of the kids were not born yet. So the younger generation. So because this thing of marble was introduced in 1972. So it revolutionized, photography. So the camera was described as a miracle of physics, optics, and electronics. So when you when a photo was snapped, so when you take a photo, so we notice, so have you seen a Polaroid camera? A blank space would emerge from the front of the camera and develop before our eyes. So when we take snap a picture, so a blank space will go out, and it's still blank, but in a couple of seconds, something will develop in there, so the picture would develop right away. So people were sold on speedy and immediate results. So sometimes when we face problems, trials, unforeseen situations, uncertainties, this is what we are like. We like speedy and immediate results, just like the Polaroid camera. But in Psalms 27, David wrote of his waiting on God during a time of great trouble when there's no solution in sight. Instead of giving to despair, he maintained his confidence that he would see goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So verse 13, it says, I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And in verse 14, it says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart and wait for the Lord. We all face moments when our world spins and our hearts race. Being still is the last thing we feel. Often, this is the last thing we want to do when we feel like we have no control of a situation. When we can't control a situation we are facing, fear overtakes. We need the peace of knowing that God works on our behalf at all times. So how do we learn to be still and know when facing our battles. Mary, Lazarus' sister, learned the meaning of these words through a difficult time in life. So from her story, we too can learn how to replace the panic in our hearts with trust in our Creator. We can fully grasp what God means, and He tells us to be still and know that I am God. Now, how can we practice stillness in God's presence? Believe, number one, point number one is believe that God is indeed God. So we can find that verse in Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verses 9. Some scholars believe Psalm 46 may have been written in response to the siege of Israel. So I was mentioning before, so this was in response to the siege of Israel, which God made a miraculous rescue of Israel. So it highlights God's protection and ultimate victory despite the threat. So this verse can be seen as a reminder that even in the face of powerful enemies, God is still in control. So believe that God is God indeed. So at some point in our lives, we will all experience pain and loss. So we understand the deep suffering Mary and Martha felt that day. So I think everybody is knows the story of the story about Lazarus, about his two sisters, right? So I was referring to this one. So Mary and the two sisters mourn over the tragic passing of their brother Lazarus, who happened to be one of Jesus' dearest friends. We won't always know the outcome of the challenges we face. Our exhausted minds can chase the unknowns, leaving us empty and without hope. It is important to remind ourselves what we don't know. So this is what we know. And since we know, He hears us when we make requests. We also know that He will give us what we ask for. So that is that verse is found in 1 John 5:15. We know that God is in control. He hears our prayers, and He answers even when it's not in the way we want to expect. Running straight to Christ, like Mary did, will help us hold into the hope that can only be found through our relationship with Him. So, point number two is about trusting that God will do what He says. So during the bubonic plague in Wittenberg, so that is Wittenberg, that is in England. So we are familiar with Martin Luther. So Martin Luther is the one who started the revolution. That's why we have what we call as Protestants. So it is Martin Luther who has started this one. So actually he is a monk. So Martin Luther chose to stay and minister to the sick, showcasing trust in God's care and guidance amidst a crisis. So this example highlights how faith can guide actions in the face of fear and uncertainty. So trust God, trust that God will do what He says. So in John 11:32, it narrates, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at His feet and said, Lord, if only You had been there, my brother would not have died. So, the problem with the if only is this. Even though we may believe who God is, it reveals that we don't trust what He can do. Yeah, that's the problem with the if. So Mary's words indicate she knew Jesus was capable of healing Lazarus. She even believed it would have happened if Jesus had been with them. So why didn't she trust enough to believe He could still answer her? Why is it so hard for us to trust God in our most difficult circumstances? Exodus 14:14 says, God desire to receive our burdens and fight our battle for us. So that is what the Lord says. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Yeah. But in times when darkness seems to envelop us, we wrestle with giving control to the only one with the power to bring us or through it. Seems like we are doubting God's power. Being still and knowing He is God means moving to a new level of trust. A level that will challenge our faith in remarkable ways. When we push aside the if-onlys and decide to trust, we will experience His unfailing love like never before. So when we give our trust fully to the Lord, so that means that our level of faith in Him so becomes higher, because in our hearts we do not doubt that God is in control of everything. But sometimes it's hard to have this kind of level of faith that we just give everything. So it is human nature that we always we have doubts because of sin. That's why we have those negative feelings. But when we trust God and ask Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit, if we do that, so the fruits of the Holy Spirit will be manifested in our lives, and that's why we can say that I really have faith in Christ. So the third point is to be at peace and understanding that God's ways are not our ways. So the story of Jesus, who willingly faced death to redeem humanity, demonstrates the power and love even in the face of immense suffering. This aligns with the idea of trusting God's plan even when things seem chaotic as God's power is greater than any earthly challenge. When we are right in the middle of our deepest hurt, we may not be able to see God at work. It's also difficult for our human minds to conceive that God could have a bigger plan, especially in such sorrow. Just like what happened to Mary, who was experiencing deep sadness because of the death of his brother. Psalm 62 states, "I await quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him." Mourning has a way of drawing out all the whys question, so the why question from our heart. So it is during the time that when we have all this why question, like, why did this happen? So why me? Why now? So these are just a few of the many why questions. So we always have this. We always, it's like we are asking God, why, and all the whys in the world. So in Isaiah 55:9, it says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." When we don't understand what's happening and sadness clouds our vision of God's plan, we can be at peace, understanding He is a God of goodness and mercy. God gave us these words, "So be still and know that I am God," as a reminder. So He knew we would have a tough time accepting this one. So He patiently teaches us how to be still and know through difficulties we face every day. So when we rest, be calm, and be at peace, knowing that with troubles threaten to overtake us, God's presence surrounds us. So to conclude my message today, so Psalm 46:10 is a message of faith, hope, and trust. So it encourages us to embrace stillness, surrendering our anxieties, and recognizing God's unwavering presence and ultimate authority, even in the midst of turmoil. I would like to encourage everyone to take time out to reflect on moments when God came through in unexpected ways for us, delivered us from impossible situations, gave us peace in chaos, and turned our trials into testimonies. So by doing so, this will help us remember God's past victories in our lives. So, before I pray, before I end this one with a prayer, so have you, I would like to share you this phrase. So, every one of you watched the movie Forrest Gump? So, do you remember what that that I will not say special, but it is what Forrest Gump's mother always tells him. So do you remember what the phrase is that? Okay, that's one of it. But the most significant one is this. So she always tells Forrest Gump, so life is like a box of chocolate. You'll never know what you get. So which is, in reality, is really true. We don't really know what's in store for us while we live, but we are certain that God is always there for us. You know, just a prayer away, not a phone call away, but a prayer away. So let us all, I'll end this message by